Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
2 years after healthcare expansion passes, Florida kids are still waiting to get access. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. 2 years ago, Florida expanded its children's health insurance program. The expansion ups the amount of money families could make and still qualify, and it makes it more difficult for families to lose coverage. The changes were supposed to go into effect this year, following approval from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but a stalled legal challenge has had things on hold. Meanwhile, Orlando mother Erin Booth says her 10-year-old son continues to decline because his current state-operated insurance won't cover his post-cancer therapies because it's not designed to cover kids who need his level of care.
Everything's getting worse. Like, his motor skills are getting worse because he's not getting his therapies that he deserves.
A follow-up to our series from earlier this year, Medically Unnecessary. That's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. The Orange County School Board came to a consensus Tuesday to begin the rezoning process for children attending 7 schools being considered for closure. Central Florida Public Media's education reporter Danielle Pryor says the board will need to vote later on whether to close the schools.
The Orange County School Board gave the district the go-ahead to begin a rezoning process for families at 7 schools on its list for closure. Enrollment is way down at those schools, and the buildings aren't being used at full capacity. Superintendent Maria Vasquez says the district will begin the rezoning process in January.
We would advertise to the communities the dates of the community meetings, where we would come back, share a similar presentation that we did today with Why My School, and then we would have student enrollment produce potential maps.
Families have protested the proposed closures as disruptive and is not the best choice for kids. District leaders say a budget shortfall tied to under-enrollment has forced their hands. Danielle Pryor, Central Florida Public Media.
There's been a spike in the number of immigrant detainees with no charges being housed at the Orange County Jail. In November, compared to a year earlier, the daily average had climbed to 70, an increase of 870%. On Tuesday, that number was 120. At a press conference, immigrant advocates urged Orange County leaders to do all they can to protect residents being targeted by agents with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Erica Gomez-Tejeda is with Hope Community Center.
As they go into the holiday season, they need to know that everything has changed, and we really need them to go into their hearts and into the holiday spirit and make sure that they look at their families and say, my community deserves better.
Community groups say they're beyond their capacity to assist immigrants in need of help. They're asking any lawyers who can to step up and provide pro bono services. AAA is predicting more than 7 million Floridians will be traveling during the holiday season between December 20th and January 1st. Here in Central Florida, Orlando is once again ranked the number one domestic holiday destination in AAA's year-end travel report. AAA's Mark Jenkins says Orlando usually tops the list.
This is a popular destination, especially for families who are looking to get away, particularly for those who are up north. They're just sick of the cold weather, tired of the snow.
Traffic congestion is predicted to be worse the weekend before Christmas Eve and on the day after Christmas. During this travel period, Jenkins reminds motorists to leave early to avoid traffic, plan ahead, and prioritize safety on the roadways. A key road in Lake County is set to reopen this Saturday after taking on damage from heavy rains in late October. The county says the storm was unprecedented and devastating to some areas, as Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig explains.
Weather permitting, Wolf Branch Road in Lake County will reopen on Saturday. The county says that's assuming the weather allows ongoing repair work on the road to continue. Staff are still hard at work repairing other roads damaged in the late October storm. A project to repair Britt Road will go out to bid in February. Near downtown Mount Dora, Donnelly Street remains partially collapsed after being washed out by a surge of stormwater. Torrential rains on October 26 left parts of Lake and Brevard counties in disarray. In less than 24 hours, Eustis took on nearly 20 inches of rain. That's about 43% of the area's total precipitation in a typical year. In Brevard, Titusville took on more than 13 inches, hitting an all-time record for daily rainfall. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Some people won't be home for the holidays this year, including the astronauts on the International Space Station. But like us here on Earth, they can still connect with family, no matter where they are.
That's always been considered from the beginning, is we want our crew members to have that connection with their family and friends.
Celebrating the holidays from space, that's on the podcast, Are We There Yet? Get it where you get this podcast. It's been 2 years since the Florida legislature voted to increase the amount of money families could make before being kicked off a state-operated health insurance program for kids with serious health problems. Earlier this year, our series Medically Unnecessary highlighted families with children who have complex medical needs and the problems some were having getting needed care. We're following up on that series today. As Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pedersen tells us, some of those families are still struggling.
She liked bugs and birds. I just bought a fly. Like, she will follow beetles around and whatever else that she sees, you know.
Melissa Supinger is telling me about her 9-year-old daughter, Amara. She's a very curious girl who loves following the bugs around the house. Although she has a hard time doing so. Amara has cerebral palsy. She's pre-verbal, which means she uses more sounds and gestures than words, and she has a ventilator as well as a feeding tube.
So she was born at 23 weeks. We spent the first 7 months of her life in the NICU.
Amara has a lot of medical expenses. Up until 2 years ago, she was covered by Children's Medical Services, or CMS, insurance for children with complex medical conditions. When the state began to disenroll people who it says no longer qualified due to income after the COVID-19 pandemic, Supinger says she and her family fell into that group. Together, Supinger and her husband bring home $80,000. Right now, 9-year-old Amara is on another state insurance program called Florida Healthy Kids Corporation, which uses insurance company Simply for her coverage. But Amara needs a lot of therapies and medications that Simply and Florida Healthy Kids were not designed to cover. Amara's PPEC sessions, for example, which are like a medical daycare with occupational, physical, and speech therapies.
Simply was not paying them. They were basically not paying the PPEC bill. So then when we would call them, they were like, well, even though it's authorized, we can't guarantee payment.
Supinger says it's taken a lot of back and forth to get Simply to pay, only to end up right back in the same situation months later. And she says this has happened a few times, and it doesn't have to. Back in 2023, Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill that expanded the eligibility of a state children's health insurance program called Florida Kid Care, the umbrella organization for CMS and Florida Healthy Kids. The old rules covered families that had an income within 200% of the federal poverty line. The new rules bumped the eligibility up to 300%, or $80,000 for a family of three, which would mean Supinger's daughter Amara would again qualify for CMS. The new rules were supposed to be in effect at the start of this year, but
this has been a bit of a long road to get to kind of where we are, and there hasn't been much movement on it this past year.
That's Brian Meyer, Deputy Secretary for Medicaid at the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration, which oversees the funds for Florida Kid Care. Last October, he stood before Florida senators explaining why the expansion hadn't happened yet, which he says is due to the Biden administration.
We had some pending litigation with CMS related to a rule interpretation, how they are interpreting the continuous eligibility requirements.
When Florida passed its Kid Care expansion, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services under then-President Joe Biden approved it. But it also issued a national rule that state agencies could not kick families off children's health insurance programs for 12 months, even if they missed a monthly payment.
On January 7th, we filed a new complaint challenging that rule.
Florida argues that the 12-month provision would cost the state $1 million a month to cover disenrolled families, and its system requires monthly premiums in order to function. Analysts question that reasoning, pointing to Florida's $115 billion budget.
Our sort of assumption is that Florida is essentially going to get away with not implementing continuous coverage.
That's Melanie Williams, a policy director at the Florida Health Justice Project. She says there's an expectation that Florida won't have to implement the 12-month rule and probably won't be held accountable for not expanding kid care because the Trump administration is more aligned with the state's views. But the case has lingered all year.
We're kind of in limbo right now. You know, we haven't seen action from it at all.
Williams says Florida's argument about why it hasn't expanded kid care also doesn't hold up.
The continuous coverage lawsuit is not something that is directly related to the actual expansion.
Williams says there may have been some wait and see going on in the first part of the year as the federal government prepared its Big Beautiful Bill Act. The bill did have some changes to state children's health insurance programs, but none that affected Florida's lawsuit. No matter the reason, Melissa Supinger, Amara's mother, says medically fragile children like her daughter have been stuck with health insurance that doesn't meet their needs.
I just kind of wish that if their child is medically complex, they get the support that they need. Like if there's the medical complexities that are happening and the parent needs the support and the families need the support.
Oh, hey.
Sorry, my house is a mess.
Oh, you never have to apologize for that. Also, game respect game because my house is also a mess. I'm walking into the Orlando home of Erin Booth. This is the fifth time I've interviewed her in 2 years about her now 10-year-old son, Landon, and his lack of access to post-cancer therapies.
Everything's getting worse. Like, his motor skills are getting worse because he's not getting his therapies that he deserves.
Landon was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 5. 2 years later, he beat cancer, but the state said he no longer qualified for Medicaid just as his recovery began due to Booth and her husband's income. Employer insurance was too costly, but the Booths do qualify for Florida Healthy Kids, and they pay full price, almost $280 a month. But that insurance is as advertised. It's for healthy kids, not disabled children or cancer survivors reeling from the effects of chemo.
His osteoporosis and every bone in his body.
If kid care expanded, like the rule changes require, then Landon would qualify for CMS.
Which is made for disabled and medically complex children, and I would not have to worry about therapies being covered.
Booth says at this point she doesn't even want the 12-month protection. She just wants to help her child heal.
I could also see Landon be Landon, the person he deserves to be, you know. He deserves healthcare.
But she has her doubts that the expansion will ever come.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're finding ways to prevent it.
The Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration has stated it will not comment on open litigation. However, Deputy Secretary Meyer did say in that October meeting with senators that he is hopeful the expansion will happen soon.
Again, I think we're hopeful that we can get somewhere amenable with the federal government here in the near future.
The Florida Health Justice Project is planning to raise its concerns with Florida leaders at the start of the upcoming 2026 legislative session next month. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
That's it for the wrap this week. Joe Mario Pedersen is in the host seat next week, and this podcast is taking off the week of New Year's. I'll be back with you January 9th. Happy holidays, and I'll see you in the new year. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.